shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that only by your Holy Spirit can the Word live, and only by your actual presence coming down here, Lord, will the dead in Christ live, and the people who are remaining alive shall be changed. Now we thank you, Lord, that we know in this hour you are here for this generation, somebody somewhere, to be immortalized. We thank you for it, but we also know, Lord, you're here to reveal your word to us and help us. So we pray that you will help us who are here tonight to be taught of you, O God, to know the things which are ordained for us, Lord. And those things, Father, that may are not ordained, we pray that we will have knowledge also of them, to not claim them, to stay away from it, Lord, so we might be those who are certainly one with the word. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been looking at the various books that are mentioned in the Bible. That is, we've looked in so far as to make us aware of the fact that there's over 16 different books mentioned in the Bible as recorded there as to their names, and no doubt what they're all about in the sense of who it entails and what it entails. And we were looking to a degree at the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life, which we realized from Brother Branham's teaching that they are not two books, they're literally one book. And we saw especially here by reading in the book of Revelation 20th chapter, beginning at verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now, you'll notice there's found no place for them. And in other words, it tells you that there's a group of people which do not have a specially prepared place for them. It's just the same here as it says the heavens and earth fled away, because the condition they were in could not allow them to continue the way they were going. So there's a dissolution of the earth, and the heavens are literally dissolved, and they come back. And however, that's not said about the everybody after the white throne. It doesn't happen that way. There are those that are there in the sense that they come back to the good things of God, and there are those that come back in that sense to destruction. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Now in here we see the books open. There's a plurality. And then another book open, which is the Book of Life. The dead were judged out of those things written. So evidently there are several books concerning the judgment at that particular time. And you can understand this is so because the one book will be concerning those that enter into eternal life. Their names are in the book, and there will be those whose names were either in the book or taken out of the book, perhaps never having been in there. We don't know. We'll look at that. And the deeds concerning them show that there is no place for them except judgment and annihilation. And it says, death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So you're looking at a picture here that Satan must receive his dues and annihilation. And then you'll notice in here that the earth, and heavens fled away, having no place for them. And over here, you find there is no place for certain people. But in this particular instance, you'll notice that as the righteous are allowed to come back, wise and foolish virgins are given their proper bodies, respectively. The righteous having already received theirs, that's of the first resurrection. Then the rest, it says here, they were cast in the lake of fire, where they will receive not a purgatory nor a restoration, but they'll receive an annihilation. Now, I want to just look at Scripture here on the Lamb's Book of Life for a second before we go into another book, and there may be several books before we're finished. It says in Revelation 13:8, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And margin by Scofield gives them perhaps a little more accurate interpretation. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb slain. And then over in Revelation 17 and 8, it's the same verse, but another chapter. And the beast that thou sawest that was and is not shall ascend out of the bonds pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, in the first particular instance, you'll find the word foundation, and it really means that which was laid, such as a foundation is laid. And going back to more original root meanings, it actually means the word conceived. So, like, for instance, before there can be any such thing as a human body that is built and comes forth as a human body, there has to be a conception. Well, you're looking at the same thing here then. Before man was ever upon earth, before there was even a speck of stardust, then already God had conceived in his mind through his omniscience that these people were already in him, and that before they could become into an existence, spoken, as Brother Branham said, their names were written in a book. And then from that point on, from the word innate to the word written to the word spoken, so you can see here how that Rhema and Logos are one, and that the bride really is one with the Word, being in God, and could never be anything but a part of the Word. That's what we noticed as we read in Scripture, that Jesus said the reason the Pharisees couldn't receive any truth, there was no truth in them. The reason they couldn't receive any light, there's no light in them. In other words, there had to be a divine spark, as people call it, which gives a lie to the theory of complete reprobation. Now, that's something that most fundamentalists hold. They believe the human race is completely reprobate, and that's a lie. The human race is not completely reprobate. The Adamic race was never reprobate under any stretch of imagination. In other words, they try to tell you that every dog can become a sheep, and every pig, every sow, and every hog can become a lamb. That is most ridiculous. Now, also, you notice here that the word cosmos is used in both places. And one place, cosmos is concerning the devil's realm. But in here, you'll notice, speaking of the fact in Revelation 13, it mentions whose names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You've got here, then, two distinct references. One is to the elect, the real, the righteous in God, and in other words, the Adamic race, and the other is not according to that. Now, the word cosmos means here in, like, the adorning. It's to look at the world, and you can see the earth here, like Brother Branham mentioned, that in the beginning that light went out from God, the Son of God, and began making the universe, speaking. And then coming down to the earth, where the earth was formed by his word, you'll see that Brother Branham put a type of evolution on the earth. And so, you're looking at the fact that God literally was already working out a system of adornment. In other words, God moving with something wherein he would be using basically what he was creating and forming would be to the extent that there would be something there superior and more wonderful to it. Now, this is the cosmos that we're looking at, God's own cosmos. Now, let me get your picture over here in Genesis 1, beginning at either 26 or 28, somewhere in there. 26, I suppose it is, maybe 20. 26. And God said, now, after the earth is out form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, you'll see what God did to the earth itself in getting it ready for man. Now, that's the cosmos we're looking at. And the Lord God said, let's make man each after likeness, let them have dominion, and so on. And then he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have control over everything that's on the earth, and so on and so forth. Now, that is the original order that God had. So that when you talk about their names are not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, you're looking back to the thought that all of these things here are the adornment, are all the placings of God that God put there, particularly for his own who were of Lamb life. Now, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. Now, over here in Revelation 17 and 8, the beast thou sawest, and if not, shall ascend out of the bonds pit and go into perdition, and they shall dwell, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose books are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast, there was not, and yet is. Now, here is a difference in this particular word, which means to put in order, and actually to decorate also, but it has a more, it's a precise meaning that goes in a different direction. It actually means to take like the wick of a candle and snuff it out. And so here what you're looking at is, I would suggest that in the one place you're looking at Satan who deliberately entered in to snuff out or to take over the light and that which God had created in order to have his, to have the cosmos that God wanted, and Satan coming in to bring on his own cosmos, which is snuffing the light. And that's just exactly what he did in the Garden of Eden. So you can see here really two chains that come up. And in the one place is in the foreknowledge of God, his own members written in a book, and the bride of Christ coming forth all through the 6,000 years of the ages, as Brother Branham said, seven church ages in the old and seven in the new. And at the same time, from the same garden, from the same creation, you can see the other coming up. See? And they're not in the Lamb's book of life, in God's cosmos. Now, I showed you that a long time ago, that there's two cosmos. Now, most people are not aware of that. Old Arthur Pink was. I don't know that Brother Branham ever said it, actually, the way Arthur Pink said it. But I know he said it, but I don't know that he had the clarity. He wasn't necessarily had to have the clarity. There's certainly two world systems. Absolutely. And you notice that God's going to bring back the foundation which is substantively material, which is an evolution, bring it all back, glorified, beautified, and then bring back his own government, his own form, exactly as you see here. So, we have a picture then of Lamb life and the book of life. Now, there was Lamb life in Eden apart from the Lamb, which I'm telling you is the fact that, that God created all things by Christ Jesus. He certainly did. Now, remember that Christ is the head of man, the same as man is the head of the woman. And Christ is like head of the church, head of the man, and God is the head of Christ. So we have, therefore, the Lamb, per se, who would be crucified and was from before the foundation of the earth because of the wickedness coming in. And we have also Lamb life in Adam and in Eve. Now notice that Adam received the revelation, Eve got it from him, she disbelieved one word. Now Adam did not disbelieve, he disobeyed. Adam was never righteous. Adam was innocent. That's why little children, before the age of accountability, are innocent and they cannot go to any lake of fire. Positively, they go where the sons of Adam, through sons of God through Adam, will go, and they will be, as Brother Branham saw, his daughter in full mature form. And there's no problem understanding that. Now, let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and we'll bring the two together. Over here in Matthew 7, Jesus is talking about these men, false prophets, and he said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." Now, you'll notice in here, as I mentioned before, that it's like a mixed metaphor, that you come to the place of where you see actually two animals. You see a wolf and you see a sheep. And you notice that the false prophet is a wolf with all the trappings of the Christian, of the true sheep. Now, he can be a perfect replication of that individual who is a lamb or a sheep of God and be a wolf on the inside. There is one thing that he cannot handle, and that is the Word. Now you say, well, the man can't handle the Word. He cannot handle the Word because he doesn't have any faith in the living Word of that hour. He won't accept it. Now, Adam accepted it, but he didn't live it. See, he being out of the original creation, not in the original, she's out of the original physical. And therefore, having a spirit allowed of God, but not of God, she was able to be drawn away of her own lust. And she was tempted of her lust because they were there. But as long as she wasn't using them, using her body, she was declared perfectly innocent. Now, she wasn't righteous, you can tell, because she fell. And Adam wasn't righteous. Now, what we're looking at here is in the garden, there are the two trees. One's a tree of the knowledge of evil, which is a mixture. It'll take the Word, but it never will understand it. It'll never receive it, and it'll never be the Word of the hour. Now, after the Word of the hour is expended and the life is gone, they'll take it. That's the way it always happens. The plant life, Brother Branham said, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was like a tree, like a plant, wheat. It was planted. See? And in the Garden of Eden, there were actually two plantings. See? God sowed in the hearts of those people His own truth and life. But in the body, there lay the possibility of a sensual sexual satisfaction. So they followed the instincts of the body. And they then naturally, of course, disobeying God, they lost it. Now, going back to this tree here, you will notice that he said, beware of false prophets. And then you come on down here, it's not just false prophets. It's going to be the fruit that they have, because Paul brings this and Peter into greater light, and he said they will follow these people. Both Paul and Peter tell you. And also to Jude. You've got three. And you can see, of course, John follows also in the Revelation. But all through Scripture, you find this great problem here. Now, it says, many will come in that day, and they'll say, happen we cast out devils and done great works? And he said, I have never known you. Now, it doesn't say at one time he did know them. In this particular case, he says, I never knew you. In other words, they were not in the divine revelation of the seed and the Word, wherein they could bring forth the Word. But they would take the Word, then they'd depart, and as they departed, they'd become wolves. So here's a nice tree. Growing up, everything looks good, but it's very, very wrong. And it becomes like a wolf. The Word of God then changed because a wolf that destroys the sheep. It's out to destroy them. You notice what the Bible said, the wolf doesn't come except to destroy and devour. And of course, he's talking about the sheep. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. All right. So we see that Matthew 7 is based upon going back to the very beginning. So, all right, you've got these people here then who bring the wrong word. They cannot receive the word of revelation for their hour. Judas couldn't do it. There's no way that Judas received Jesus as the Christ. Peter received the revelation. The rest followed right along. But there's no way that Judas did it. Because, you see, there is no way that you can destroy your brother. If Judas had been a real apostle, a real brother, he would not have been set for destruction at that particular time. Notice, afterward, always, there is no reason to destroy. Look, the Catholics destroyed Lutherans. As soon as Luther passed on, and you went down to the age of the Wesleyans, it was pretty well all over. See? No more, the Catholic Church was finished as far as its gross devastation of Protestants could go. They were pulling back. Now, what happened when Pentecost came? Why, they were just out to destroy them. Now, it's the same with this message. Now, notice today, the Catholics and everybody love each other. They're all going to heaven. No problem. That isn't the truth. So you see what we're looking at here is when the Word of God has run its course, the names in the Lamb's Book of Life has been fulfilled. See? Now, the life going on to the new section, from the seed to the little sprout, stem to the leaves, going on further, right up to the husk, right on through by the four stages, to come all the way back to seed, you can see the death sets in to the word that was given. And that's what the foolish virgin go for. That's why you can't tell them anyway except at the end time. And there's something in there that will not destroy the brethren. They will not do it. They won't destroy the race of God, the Adamic race. They're not ones to do it. They'll help them along the way. But these others that are already dead will persecute the ones that are going on. So you can see how your tree comes here. Now, that's a plant that does it. But plants don't do that. Beasts do that. So you got the beast in the garden, and you got the beast all the way up. And that's when you get to the book of 1 John, and it tells you concerning Cain. Now let's read it so we understand exactly what it says, because it's so easy to forget. Listen, you know, except somebody reminds me, many times I forget what Brother Branham told me that I told you. And maybe years later I'll remember it again. But look at it. Watch what it says in verse 12. Not as Cain was that wicked one, that's 1 John 3, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hateth you. So Brother Cain is a brother in the human race, but he ain't no brother to you and me. Wise or foolish virgin. Now you can tell that, because at the white throne, all they expressed was goodness. When did I visit you in the hospital? When did I give you a drink of water? When did I give you some food? When did I give you some clothing? That's not Cain. He doesn't give her it. Look at the devil. He said, all these things will I give you. He was only interested in self-aggrandizement. That's why Brother Branham can say to the old doctor, blessed are the merciful, for they shall have mercy. He knew right there the old boy was in the foolish virgin class. Ate right down the line. You see these things. So you're looking at these trees, these two books rather, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, you notice that Brother Branham said the beast had no soul. Well, how where would Cain get one? Well, the only thing I could see there, that Cain would get a soul due to Eve, because she was in the original creation. Now, people say Brother Branham said she wasn't in the original. He went to Genesis 2. But in Genesis 1, it says something different, and Brother Branham said Adam was both male and female. Where did he get it? In the original. Genesis 1. Then he took the feminine, she called it, the feminine spirit, out of the, what you might call the duplex, the duo, twin people there, put that in another body. Now notice, that was done afterward. So she was not in the original creation of the physical. So all I could see is, and I don't know I'm telling you the truth. I'm just looking at speculation. If he didn't tell us, we can look at it, but that's all we can talk about and say, well, it could be this. He had to get someplace where he got a soul if he didn't have one. He didn't get it from Adam. He must have got it from the maternal side. And in doing that, that's exactly why I can see why Mary can trace herself right back to Adam, even though she was a woman. Taking the genealogy right through the men. Because that's where Eve got hers. And so there's something that can be contributed. Anyway, the point is this. Over there in the book of John, we saw that Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. They said, we are not born of fornication. We can trace ourselves back to Abraham. So I don't care if you can. He said, Abraham had lots of children, and it doesn't mean they're all seed. He said, they're the seed of them physically, that's true. But when it comes to the spirit, no way. They are not real children. So you see, there wasn't a place in them, in their soul, for the word. And that's exactly the way Cain was. There was no place for the revelation, though he had a soul. So you're looking at souls and souls. Now there's one place in the Bible, Brother Branham says, with all theologians, the animal has no soul. I got a scripture for you. There's at least one scripture that says animal have a soul. But Brother Branham said, inner soul. So whether animals have souls or not, I don't care two bits. Not interested. I know one thing, they don't have inner soul. Because he positively identified, and you're hitting right now, the Pharisees who have a soul, but they don't have that inner. There is nothing in there that is a gene from God. And there had to be in the original. So the gene isn't in there. So now, what you're looking at those then, who by sheer dint of the fact, could have their names in a book of life, have them removed. Because there's no compatibility at all to the word. So that's the whole thing. You say, where then is the foolish virgin compatible? Because they're compatible to the word made manifest, which is the seed logos, which is bride. There's a compatibility. In no other way. Because remember, it's still all by grace. God has to make a way of reckoning. All right, getting back to these ones we spoke of then. Let me see. Over here in Revelation, we go way back to Revelation. And in 17, I think it was, the 8th verse, the base thou sawest was and is not shall ascend to the bottom of the pit. Has no foundation, see? And grin to perdition. Right to the lake of fire. And they that dwell there shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. All right, now there's a little clue right there. If their names were not written at that time, could they have been written later? Absolutely. Then if they weren't in the book of life from the foundation, they never were lamb-like. So the point is, whether they were in the book and taken out or never in the book does not make any great difference. It would appear to me what Brother Branham said, there were those whose names were never in it. I can't pin it down 100%, though the Church Age book goes along with that, because it was written on that premise. But remember, sometimes you can misunderstand just a little bit. I don't know that that's the truth in that particular instance. But we look at this thing and we see here, as Brother Branham's main point was this, regardless, you can have your names taken out of the book of life. And he referred positively to the fact of the woman trying to walk that high line with high heel slippers. She couldn't do it. She said, I can do that. There's no way she could do it. And he said, see? He said, you're taking away just one little word. And that's the thing that I believe we're looking at today in the Word of God, is not to hold women up to contempt or make them to have any problem with themselves or anybody else. It's the fact that women do type the church. And you go right back to Eve. Just one word, the devil twisted for her, changed one word, the whole thing went. Now remember, how much Brother Branham would say, he would put this, I believe, as I'm going to say it. He often said it. He said, you say you believe me, then why don't you obey me? Now they wouldn't do it. Now, time after time, he actually talked about the high heels and the short clothes and the poured-in dresses, the kind of maternity clothes, the sack clothes that made a woman body. She walked and just swirled, and she could show her figure. All of these things Brother Branham condemned. He did condemn. That's the word of God, condemned it. The little girl that came to him, the Amish or Mennonite somewhere, and she said, is it okay to wear some kind of a, what in the word was it anyway, petticoat of some kind? And he said, what are you talking about? Well, she said, it's what it is that you can see the petticoat from the dress. He said, now, why would any woman want to do that? Now, if you see me harping and talking to you men, someday we got to get in and just thrash things out here. That's all there is to it, because there's things going on that must not go on. There's opinions and things in the church, especially women, and you're destroying everything in your home, your children with it. Now, let's understand this thing. I cannot conceive how any woman can show any part of her body and a skirt and all, and a husband agree to it. I even blow my stack and the bathroom door is open and my wife is in it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's things going on in your minds here that should not be. You're having a word test, and you think because you see, I believe this word in these things. Now, remember, woman types the church. You say, I believe it. What do you believe? See, if a person cannot do those simple things, there's not a prayer for the other. That's why I say the Bible distinctly said, if you cannot handle the mammon of this world, God will not commit to you the true riches. Now, you know I don't want your tithe. I'm not interested in money. Thank God I'm so far above that, it's pitiful. If I had to think I could die in the street, somehow God give me grace. But some people don't even tithe. That shocked you, doesn't it? Where are they? What realm are they living in? And you tell me, well, Brother Vail, I'm going to tell you what, these people have a revelation. A revelation of what kind of hogwash are you talking about? Now, come on. Don't try to fool with me. So I've proved all this. You're talking to a 75-year-old man in just a few months. I've proved it for over 30 solid years. I know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me anything. I don't get told up here. I tell you. And I only tell you because I know it is, thus saith the Lord. I tell you, a bunch of hogwash, no good. See, now listen here. These fellas here, they were born without a soul that could take the truth. They couldn't do it. Now, physically, they look pretty good. They look pretty good. But they weren't that good because the Bible speaks to them over here in the book of Jude. Let's take a look at it. Now it says here in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, which were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, I read somewhere that this literally, in Jude and in Peter, maybe they take it from Peter and also from Paul, that these people were written about. They were written about like they're part of history. But remember, they don't continue in history. They have no eternal record. See, also, you notice the book of life and the last book of life were open. There were records there. And if they weren't in a book of life, I can tell you one thing. Their record was there in another book. All the records of everybody's life is there. I don't understand exactly what's going to be our lot in the white throne. Brother Branham said we'd be attorneys. I know we cannot be judged. But the word judge is unto condemnation. We are avenged by the great judge who came and made his declaration based on vindication through a prophet. And the vindication was, you're righteous, everything is fine. You didn't do it in the first place. In other words, we are declared even to be innocent, as well as having the righteousness of God. But brother, sister, there is no doubt according to 1 Corinthians that there is a record of our works. And Brother Branham never denied that. So the books are going to be open. And those books are contingent to everything that deals in life. Lamb's life, book of life, the records concerning it. All right. I'm not going to go any further. I just, maybe from time to time, we'll get a little more insight in this thing. But the big thing is I wanted you to notice here that regardless of whether there is a little misunderstanding or a little, it traps the word as ignorance. As to the Book of Life and Lamb's Book of Life, so that we could follow with a perfect continuity and a lucidity that we would desire. I don't know that we can, but we know enough to understand what's being said tonight and what the prophet said concerning it and what the Bible just teaches here. That positively, there isn't going to be anyone that escapes the record. In other words, the record is there, and that's all there is to it. But whether the blood covers, grace covers, and other things, that's something that we have to wait and see, because we don't know exactly who's in the bride. The foundation of God stands here, and this is the Lord knoweth them, but you're His. Now, we might not have time to finish this tonight, but again, we might. We were going through the Bible sort of chronologically, as these books came in from to the Bible, and I'm not saying there's not another book here. There is. There's a book of the law written before this as part of it. But this is part of the book of the law. It's part of something that God gave Moses, which has to do with the word that was laid down concerning conduct. Now, if there weren't a law laid down concerning conduct, there could be no judging. Nothing whatsoever. There'd be no standard. Like Brother Branham said, God's going to judge this world by in righteousness by one Christ Jesus. And he always said, and Christ is the Word. He never, ever left it stand there concerning judge the world in righteousness by one Christ Jesus. He always filled in, and Christ is the Word. He always filled it in. Rhema and Logos, one and the same. Standing right there with that Word. The great lawgiver who gave it and yet made a way of escape at the same time. So in Numbers, the 5th chapter, (clears throat) 23. It says, and the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. Okay. We read here then in the 5th verse, the fifth chapter of Numbers, the 23rd verse, that there is a book of curses. And there's some writing in here. And you'll notice that this book is on earth. It's written by a priest. Doesn't say it's the high priest. It could be, I don't know, but any priest. But it's dictated to the priest by God. It's given to Moses. So the man will know exactly what to do. Now, the context of this is verses 12 to 31. So you're going to have to read it. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there is no witness against her, neither shall she be taken with the manner. The spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. Then the man shall bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it's an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord, and the priest shall take holy water in the earthen vessel, and of the dust that is upon the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it in the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering memorial in her hands, which is a jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath and say to the woman, if no man is lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and thou be defiled, and some man will lain with thee beside thine husband, then shall the priest charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest said to the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when the Lord doth make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. And this water that causes the curse to go into thy bowels and make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot, the woman shall say, amen, amen. The priest shall write these curses in the book, and he shall blot them out with bitter water. In other words, he rubs out what he wrote down there, and then just see what's going to happen. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that caused the curse entered her and become bitter. Then the priest should take the jealous arm of the woman's hand and wave it before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. In other words, she has nothing now. It's been given to God whether she can be accepted. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made her drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and a trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter her, and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then shall she be free, and shall conceive seed. And this is the law of jealousies, when a woman goeth aside to another instead of her husband is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guilty of iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. Now, this cursing, of course, is a far cry from the Mount Abel in Gerizim, where they had parallel blessing and cursing. This is something that is brought to pass in another way entirely. Now, what we see here is a man accusing his wife either justly or unjustly of infidelity. If he is merely jealous by reason of his imagination, the man is guilty of iniquity or falsely accusing his wife. So unless he puts his wife to this spiritual test that is prescribed, he would be very guilty of what he's saying against her. He's got to prove if he's suspicious only. And if he's not suspicious, he has a way of finding out. If his suspicions are found to be correct, he is now, at this point, if his suspicions are correct, he would be found, if he took his wife back, he'd be guilty of actually living as the woman who committed adultery, and he would make himself unclean by reason of her trespassing against the word of God, her vow to God and the vow to her husband. She would be a harlot and must be stoned and burnt with fire. Now, this is her exoneration for her being faithful and her husband bleeding against her. In other words, what this ritual is will deal in her exoneration, whether she's faithful or not, or whether she has fallen. Now, though this is an actual ritual from the days of Moses and was upheld for centuries, it's also a type of what has happened through the centuries as concerning the behavior of Israel and then the church toward God, because the woman is always, Israel is always a woman and the church is always a woman. So we've got something here that's far greater than simply a woman going through this test. Because her husband either knows her to be guilty but can't prove it, he's seen too many evidences, or he's simply suspicious because he's a suspicious person. There are people like that, by the way, and don't you forget it. They're a little bit, mental. But they're there. Now, Isaiah, the third chapter, is what we're going to look at, and we're going to read the verses 1 to 20. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him, become another man, shall he return to her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? For thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Now this is God speaking to Israel. The husband and wife situation. Lift up thine eyes unto the high place and see where thou hast not been lying with. Now the high places are groves where people worship in idolatry. So you can see that adultery is idolatrous worship. And it doesn't matter what makes it idolatry. Now you see, that's the big thing. People say, well, I'm not idolatrous. Brother Branham said, believing in three gods is idolatry. He also said, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, witchcraft. In other words, their inspiration is not coming from God, any more than Judas's inspiration came from God, to destroy Christ. Because the devil ended in him. Of course, God knew he was going to do it. Now, he said, lift up thine eyes upon the high places, and see where thou hast lying, not been lying with. In the ways that thou hast sat for them as they arrayed in the wilderness, and thou flooded the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast Thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. Now that's just the book of Revelation. Wilt thou not from this time cry to me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth. Now that's turning the children back, the hearts of the children back to the fathers, if that would happen. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldst. You've done whatever you could do which is evil. The Lord said also unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and every green tree and played the harlot. Now you see, mountain places and trees are where false worship occurs. Show me any church but the Roman Catholic that goes for groves and mountains and things. You can't do it. This tradition, Rome is Babylon. Vatican, Vatikain, the house of Cain. You know, they give away all their tricks. But the people are so stupid. Protestants alike. Doesn't bother them. Why? Because they come from mother. That's why I say this mother love. You got to watch it like nothing in the world. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. How many want it? And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. Now remember, there's the tribes have been divided into about 9.5 and 2.5. Because there's a half tribe of Benjamin over there with Judah and in the lesser groups. There Ben and was it Ephraim? And I saw when they were when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And remember, it was at the time when they split that the king said, I'm fearful lest they go up there and worship at Jerusalem, so I will erect worship down here in Samaria. So he got them moving around. And that's when he got the temple of Baal and all. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom, in other words, she didn't care, she thought that was great fun, that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Now what's that? Idolatry. Now got the place where she made her own images. Well, St. Peter and Paul and all the images in the churches. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than her treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I'll not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger alive forever. Now this is a man, God catching the woman in the act. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways up to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. In other words, they had many counselors and many teachers. Like Paul said, he said, you've got a lot of teachers, you've got 1,000 instructors, but you've only got one father. There's only one truth. And all of these people were taking Israel astray. That's exactly why Brother Branham said, whenever time it comes to doctrine, don't anybody ever try to teach it, take them to your pastor. We don't quite do that here because I teach very strong day and night. And I figured that our deacons better know something by now. We're going to do to you? Nothing too desperate, but you better get with it. Like Paul said, by the time you ought to be teachers, you're ready to be taught again. This simply can't go on. There's got to come a time when the men in the church know what they stand for and stand for. Like Brother Branham said, a woman listening to a man make a decision, even though it might be a wrong decision, is better off listening. So it may be that some things that we might not have quite right. At least for land's sake, get to the place we know what we're standing for. I don't believe we're standing for anything wrong. Now, I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. One person, see, brought the word. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you out one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now that sounds like the rapture right there, the dividing by the word and to the rapture of Matthew 24 and over in Luke 17. And I'll give you pastors according to my heart. which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It will come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, said the Lord, they shall no more, say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit, neither shall that be done anymore. This is looking way, way down the road. It sounds like he's talking more to the Gentiles than he is to Israel. You say, what gives you that? Because God said Jeremiah was called a prophet to the nations, which is Gentiles. So if you want to look at this book here, you had better look at it in the light of Israel being an example. And it comes right down today. And at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nation be gathered into it. So the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. You know what? If what we have today is what Brother Branham said we have, we are coming to that right now. There is no more walking after an evil heart. That is imaginations and off the word. In other words, the word has been restored, as Brother Branham said. But I said, how shall I put these among the children, give them a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and thou shalt not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel. So you can see what I'm drawing here, and taking this picture of the woman of suspicion, an actual fall. Now, the Old Testament speaks in these terms very often. Now then, let's look at the New Testament and see the woman as the church, and see her living fallen from her husband. And we go to Revelation chapter 2, which is the church age. Now watch what it says, beginning of verse 1. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, thy labors, thy patience, how thou canst bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and found and are not, and found that they are liars, because he didn't say it, Paul said. And hast borne, hast patience for my namesake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of thy place, except thou repent. This thou hast, thou hatest the decent Nicolaitans, which I also hate, and he that hath an ear, so on and so forth. Now, the major verse then is verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Okay. Reading verses 4, 5, and 6. He says here, you could even read the fact they've borne patience for my name's sake of labor, not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against it because thou hast left thy first love. Now, they're in that particular position at that particular time. Now watch, remember from whence thou art fallen. They're not in their particular position they once were. They were in an unfallen state, but now they are in a fallen state. And the only way to get rid of their fallen state, if they would do it, would be to turn back their minds to the Word of God. Now, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Two verses in there show the past, 4 and 5. You've left your first love, you're fallen, your candlesticks are in a peculiar, particular position that isn't good. But there's something they're doing in verse 6 that is going on in the church, and they don't like it. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So, all right. Notice, you left your first love. The Nicolaitan deeds are in your church. So the Nicolaitan deeds and the first love have an awful lot in common. Because it is very evident here from that fact that what is bad in the church, and that's the thing that says we brought right to our attention, is a bad thing, could well have started the very problem that lies in that church. So in other words, we got here a Nicolaitan situation where people cannot take the authority of the church, but they're trying to do it. And Paul mentions that, the same as John did in one of his epistles, and right on down the line. All right, what is this Nicolaitan setup? The Nicolaitan setup is where you have people trying to bind the laity under that which is not the rule and the word of Almighty God. It's people taking authority outside of the word. Now, you can see that as we've read it many times in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Now we got verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their behavior. And in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit to yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is not profitable. What you're looking at here is the vindicated word is the only way that you can go by. Now, this early church was able to perceive that those who came in did not have that word. They didn't have it right. But they began to let them begin to take authority. And when they did, they absolutely lost their first love. They did not want this authority amongst them. But it was a spirit that had crept in, which was taking them away from the original message that was given by the Apostle Paul. Now that this is true, you can see in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. I may not have phrased this too well for you, but you can see my point. Paul says in verse 2, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Now here's the law of the jealous husband. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now here's his suspicion. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now watch. He's saying the same thing that said over there in the Ephesian church age by John the Revelator. He said, you've left your first love. You've left your husband. There's some hanky-panky going on here. You maybe haven't committed adultery yet, but you're heading in that direction. Because the forces are at work that bring it to pass, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached. If you receive another spirit, which ye have not received, another gospel, which ye have not accepted. In other words, he says right here, the same thing that's said in the Revelation. It's already settling in. But you haven't actually given way to it. Now, let's go to the book of Acts and see the very same thing in Acts 20. We've done this many, many times with you. Paul says in Acts 20, 26, therefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the gospel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and the flock, or which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer to feed the church of God, which had purchased with his own blood. For this I know after my departing, your grievous wolves enter among you, and the spot sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverted things, contrary to the word, to draw away disciples after them. See, it was going on. They hated the fact that the unity of the word and the spirit was already moving. That's the trouble. Some of them hated it. But they were tolerating it somewhere down the line. And the toleration would get greater as they left the word. Now he said, Also, I know after I depart in grief, you're supposed to enter among you, better change drunk, and also of your own selves. Also of your own selves. Heretics shall arise, speaking perverted things to draw away disciples. Watch therefore and remember, for the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone day and night, and so on. Now, in 2 Corinthians, we saw Paul defending himself again. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, if we as receive mercy, we faint not. Paul wouldn't faint, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That's right back to the garden. Not walking in craftiness. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, he was vindicated. He couldn't say it. Because I can't stand up, and William Branham couldn't stand up and say, I'm going to tell you people, listen to me, thus saith the Lord, this is it. I'd say, oh, shut up and sit down. I can do the same stupid thing anybody can. If God didn't back him. Pentecost is full of thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, my little children, the glory of the Lord is shining on you, and you'll be a great people. Hallelujah. This place is filled with the glory of God. Blah, 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 blah. Not one thing takes place. Except chaos. Anybody can mouth off. The Apostle Paul had to have something that cut. And so do we, or forget it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Religion, unless something is real somewhere, is ultra stupid. Yep. It's stupid. True. Who needs it? It's just something more to bind and fetter you. Where's the liberty Christ said you had? Where's anything? Listen, I tell you, if there isn't a vindicated message in this hour, the whole world will go for the beast. If there is such a thing as a beast. You know something? One half of the world went for the beast in the Garden of Eden. 50%. And the other 50% got into disobedience because of it. That shot the whole picture. There's only one way man can get back, and that's by God doing something about it. You can say all you want, but I will not listen to you. So this is what happened. These two things here. We got the word, and that's going to do it. Something in that word's got to do it. Because the final offense of life is the offense against death. Men dying. Now, there was no commandment that could give life. No. God himself didn't do it. God didn't say, now, I'll tell you what, man. Suddenly come to life. He breathed in his nostrils a breath of life. No commandment can do it. Only life can give life. And only a super life, an immortal life, can give immortality. So somewhere down the line, there has got to be an immortal life superimpose itself over a mortal life, and it cannot be a law, it's going to be a life. That's all you can look for. How is he doing it? Prophet told us. He's doing it by the last word of the last age. It's going to come to life. At the last trump, seventh church age messenger shall sound. All right. They are leaving the vindicated word. So the church that started like Eve a flirtation, where she winked with her eyes and signaled with her toes. She tinkled her toes, so to speak. And she brought about the adultery. Now let's go back to the book of the church ages. Chapter 2, we saw it start in verses 1 to 7. And age number 2, the church at Smyrna, thus saith the first and last, which is dead and is alive. I know thy works, thy tribulation, thy poverty, and I know thou art rich. But thou art rich and of the blasphemy, and even call thyself Jews, and are not the synagogue of Satan. Fear not. None of these things shall suffer. Fear none of these, those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast thee into prison, many be tried. Tribulation 10 days, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now notice in there, you've already got the mixed multitude. Those coming in who have set themselves apart, and they've done it for one reason, and that's to take a preeminence, to bind the people. You got a mixed multitude definitely set right there, but the church is a beautiful church. It goes to its death if necessary to try to stem the tide, though they're not going to stem it. All right, in age 3, 14 to 15, I have a few things against thee, because those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, that taught Balaam to cast dummies up in Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and commit a fornication. You got the and got the doctrine now, the Nicolaitans, says right in the church, you got to have this, you can't have it. Now, a real fivefold ministry is not a Nicolaitan ministry. Many people write today in the Branham message, they'll try to tell you there's no fivefold ministry, so therefore, if there's a fivefold, it's got to be Nicolaitan. Well, they're wrong. Brother Branham never said that. In fact, if you've got an ounce of brains and know the two vines, they're going to survive side by side until the true vine is taken. There will be a true fivefold, there will be a false fivefold. Well, you just shot part of the bride of God and part of the bride of the devil. So don't be stupid. If you want to be stupid, go ahead. It's okay by me. You cut your throats. Not my fault. Repent or I'll come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword in my mouth. That's Revelation 19. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Okay, you'll notice that these Nicolaitans have subjected the people to where there is now no hope of recovery. They've got it. Church order, false, has been set to such a degree the church will be perpetuated by an organization. It's right here. The next church age is the fifth church age. We got the fourth church age rather. 20 to 23. I know your works, your charity and so on. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou suffered from Jezebel, who has called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of fornication, she repented not. Behold, I cast her into a bed that they had committed adultery with her in a great tribulation. Now this is going right to the great tribulation. The church is greater endued now with the power to actually perpetuate herself with no turning back, because she's wholly controlled not by a Bible now. She's not controlled by teachers teaching the Bible. This is the Roman Catholic Church in the Dark Ages. And they don't care two bits for the Bible. Everything they do is contrary to it. But they perpetuated themselves through destroying men's souls and destroying their bodies. Now, age number 5 is the Sardisean age under Luther. And he says here, I know thy works, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. In other words, you came out, you made yourself Lutherans, instead of Holy Roman Church, this, that, and the other, but you haven't left organization. You're just as dead in organization as the rest are. I have not found thy works perfect. No. Be watchful and strengthen things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now up here in verse 19, it says, I know thy works, thy charity, thy faith, thy service, thy works, and their great works. He doesn't say that all the works are of God. The Roman Catholic Church became a great church for works, 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 works. And every now and then you'll find saints in the Roman Catholic Church that protested the Catholic Church. And they were saints of God. They believed in kindness, the proper works of Almighty God. Now over here you'll notice that Luther's perpetuating that little bit of good works. He perpetuated, but it says, I've not found thy works perfect before God. The word perfect there means completed. They've started something. If there's so much death in the pot, can they continue? Can they start moving back to where they used to be? That's what you're looking at here. The answer is yes, they're going to do it. Now, you notice the next church age. Verse 8, after a little strength now. God opens a book. God begins doing something with and through the church he couldn't do even with Luther. I know your works. Behold, I said, and behold, the open door. No man can shut. You've got a little strength. You kept my word. Has not denied my name. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they're Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet to know thou hast loving. That's way down the road. Because I've kept the word of my patience, also keeping the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly and hold fast that thou hast no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. And I write upon him the names of my God and the name of the city of my God. Now notice in here what is coming out of this church that will go on into Laodicea, though Laodicea goes into complete bankruptcy. He says here, you kept the word of my patience. I'm going to keep you as you keep moving down the road from the hour of temptation, the great tribulation. Now behold, I come quickly at that particular time. And him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. In other words, at this point, you begin to see the word, which is the foundation of the church, and the pillar is a part of the foundation, begin to rapidly move back. Until at the end of the seventh age, in that particular age, you find Christ knocking at the door. So the word, in spite of all the problems it's gone through, and the bride, in spite of the fact that the church itself has been a harlot, you've got a bride coming here up to the end time that reaches all the way to the top, which is where the pillars go, where the capstone comes. Knocking at the door to be the capstone. All right. They would not go on to perfection. They stayed with organization. In age 6, they went to justification, from justification to sanctification. And sanctification is where the word starts giving the church the power toward the resurrection, because it is the word that sanctifies. Jesus said, my word is truth, the word sanctifies, and that brings you to the place where the bride can go back to being the word. Now remember, the woman has a little strength. Not an awful lot. But she's got a little strength. But she doesn't have enough strength to bring forth the man-child. There is no way she can bring forth Christ. Brother Branham categorically said, the church cannot bring forth Christ. They cannot do it. Now, in the seventh age, you see everything completely fallen. Wretched, miserable, blind, naked. Even those in the bride are completely in adultery. That's what they're into. That's when God spoke to Israel under Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a prophet unto the Gentiles. And in there he says to the church which committed adultery in every high place, which, remember, Israel never embraced every religion. Show me the Roman Catholic Church where it's not been. And it's embraced everything, witchcraft and voodoo, and I can prove it. The Roman Catholic Church has committed adultery with every religion and continues to do so. Wherever she goes, she'll absolutely allow. Go down to South America right now, and you can find absolutely the religion of the Incas, the Peruvians, and all the whole bunch of them. Then the Mayans, they've still got their religion there. You go down to the islands, they've got their witchcraft. And if you study, you'll find the priests are doing it. The same as the priest will declare, I should not lay with a woman, but I'm a man, and I'm going to do it. And the Roman Catholic Church is a lot like Gorbachev. Yes, sir. Perestroika. Bring the whole thing in the open. But all the while, as the world warns, don't worry, the commies are still behind it. Watch out. So is the Pope. Well, he gets enough power to lower his male fist, he'll do it. And brother, sister, don't be so stupid that that's not the truth. For God's sake, read history. Just start reading a few things and understanding. I don't think the Kennedys ever read history. If they did, they knew they're part of the system. As far as they were concerned, they were safe and secure. And anybody who worships the devil is pretty safe and secure until. Then you'll burn with him. Let's understand this. This church has gone into harlotry. The church is completely backed out, blacked out, and fallen. And any child she brings forth will be a complete bastard. Because she claims she's married to God, and she's committing adultery with the devil. So therefore, she'll bring out a complete bastard from her whoredoms. There's a complete back out of the word of Almighty God. And look at her condition. How many minutes you got left? 11? Well, that's a good place to stop. We're going to stop with the blackout. We'll make a quick review on Sunday and go into the blackout. We'll see how the Spirit moved through four seals. What we're into. See? And we'll see how the test was given to see if she was fooling with a man or not. Simple as ABC. What's going to happen to her? And the result, if you don't know already, is the rotting thigh, which is AIDS. And the swollen belly is cancer. She doesn't bring forth a child. She's a liar and a whore. And she's pregnant with wrong seed. That's the Bible. If anybody should be thankful, we should be. At least we see something. We might not see too good. We see something. And we're not so stupid that we can't understand there's a diagnosis here in the Bible, and with the diagnosis, there's a prognosis. There's a prescription. It's the right prescription. And the sorcerers, the druggists, are giving the wrong prescription. And there isn't one drug without a side effect. Eventually destroy you, even aspirin. So if you can't get back to nature in the physical, you live on this earth till you get down in the mud and die exhausted. And if you can't get back to the spiritual, we will all go to hell and be annihilated. And I'm sold with Brother Branham, so sold on his ministry. I'm not sold like he was. My merciful God, I wish I were. I wish you were. What a glorious church we'd have. If we're all sold as Brother Branham was on his own vindicated ministry, we could say, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. Now, a lot of people can say that. I could say, hey, I'm worth $50 million and get up here and boast and flash my teeth if I have any left. I'm going to go here. And you might be crazy enough, believe me. I couldn't produce 50 million, couldn't produce 5 million, couldn't produce 1 million, couldn't produce 500,000. You name it, we'll just keep on going down. And if we could, it wouldn't do us any good. To be able to stand with the Word of God and know that our God is the living God. And to have the right to the tree of life and believe we're part of it. Brother, sister, that's the greatest thing in the world. And if we all died tomorrow, paupers and beggars, miscreants before the world, heretics, and were purged in fires and hung upon crosses, I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell you one thing. We are the most blessed generation to ever stand upon this earth to see that one in his epiphania. The great moment, he said, greater works than these will I do because I go to my Father. To know vindication. But William Branham would thus set the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ could say he had greater success in my life than he had in his own, that ministry. A man stand there and tell you the greater works was creation. And when you stood with you to stood to me and seen that microphone cord, oh, way thicker than this. This kind. Wrapped around a double. And stand there. Wrapped around. You want to see it? Just like this. There it is. Right there. I showed you one time before. And suddenly, there it was. That's as big as any miracle of creation in my books. You say, Brother Vela wasn't there and you could have been direct. Oh, I could have been a lot. I'd be just telling you a lie. You believe in God? Open Bible. I didn't tell you the truth. Didn't tell you anything but the truth. Didn't tell you a lie. I told you the truth. I got to give account for it. I've got my little share of hatred because I believe what I believe and I can preach the way I preach because then I'm telling the truth. Everybody's got his share of it. Believe me something? The man that hates the word that's revealed is of the world. He's only a brother because he looks like one. He's not a brother. Bible says so. There we are. The adulterous church. We'll talk about her on Sunday. Let's rise and be dismissed. Father God in heaven, we thank you again for your kindness, allowing us to come together to study these things, Lord. And we believe more and more shall come to light as we look at it, if you let us look at it. But if we are in turn, have our minds turned to something else, the prophet taught by sermon, which personally I like a whole lot better than looking at things myself. Because I feel, Lord, I not only feel, but I know the accuracy lies there. And then I feel in myself I've got a better ability by reading and looking to you to see these things, he says, in more definitive terms, as he told us, to break them down and teach the people. And so, Lord, we would appreciate if you chose another message to bring to the people or to continue this, whatever you like. But we're open, Lord, to your help. And we want to thank you for the help you've already given us. And knowing, Lord, as we have the church in the past turned from the father of the gospel, humanly speaking, Paul, to many teachers. Now we have been turned from many teachers to the one teacher which you gave us in the person we believe of the prophet William Branham, the Elijah of this hour. And we believe, Lord, that there is also the availability of a ministry to help the people with this word. And so, Father, we trust that we are helping the people with this word through the prophet tongue. And may we see more and more and more, Lord, the clarity. And come to the same place that you have come to, Lord, which judgment has been declared. The sentence has been passed. Execution is now according to the date that you will set. And no man knows that day or that hour. Nobody knows. But you know. One day, Lord, all the interim things that you said would come upon the earth in the great tribulation will come smashing down upon an earth in the great tribulation, only to resurrect at the end of the millennium, to come back again, to search every heart and every soul, and clean the world and the heavens once for all. These things we believe, Lord, and know to be true to the extent that, Father, our faith is given. We believe you'll help us, Lord, all the way. A constant unfolding and growth. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.